Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. In the Soviet Union, every leader since Lenin has restated and acted toward the goal of world domination. On June 28, 1972, Soviet leader Brezhnev declared the struggle between communism and what he termed imperialism will intensify and become a still sharper form of the antagonism between the two systems. Later, on August 22, he explained, "Peaceful coexistence does not mean the end of the struggle of the two world powers." Said Brezhnev, "The struggle between the proletariat and the bourgeois, between world socialism and imperialism, will be waged right up to the complete and final victory of communism on a world scale." Ah, did you hear it? There should be no question as to the bold objectives outlined by the leaders of the Kremlin. However, it cannot be understood why the United States is often labeled the aggressor, accused of imperialism, when throughout the world it's been the communists who've infiltrated country after country, determined to plant the philosophy of the hammer and the sickle. While appealing to the working class and applauding the benefits of socialism, it is well known that everywhere this system of government has been established, there's been the abolition of freedom as we know it, and in its place the attempt to establish some form of godless tyranny. Well, here's a special report on religious freedom in Russia by World Religious News.
A high-ranking official of the Russian Orthodox Church, Metropolitan Filaret Denisenko of Kiev and Galicia, pointed out while visiting India recently that while citizens of the Soviet Union are free to believe in God, they are severely restricted as to public display of their faith. Citizens have the right to choose any religion or none, he said. However, the believer must confine any expressions of his or her faith to places of worship. Metropolitan Filaret said in an interview that legal restriction on public expressions of devotion meant also that the Russian Orthodox Church could not be involved in social services activities. This is Denny Milgate reporting.
Well, Dr. W. A. Criswell, who's pastored one of the largest Baptist churches and served as president of the Southern Baptist Convention, recalls how God once permitted the merciless Assyrian Empire to chasten and punish his people for their sins. The Lord sent word through Isaiah the prophet to Judah, saying, "Assyria is the rod of mine anger and the staff of mine indignation." The question Dr. Criswell raises is that today God may be allowing the ruthless Red Russian Empire to exist in our modern world as a scourge and chastisement of the Christian nations of the West. Dr. Criswell alludes to the visit of our president to Helsinki to sign the instrument of detente, slipping and falling as he stepped off the plane. Is this a picture and a parable of the great mighty strength and glory of America, down, down, down on its face, groping for strength to stand up? This is detente, says Criswell. Well, others see in detente something of a concession to communism, a surrender of sorts. Well, Melvin Laird, who served as Secretary of Defense, has declared, "The facts are that in recent months, the USSR, secretly and openly, has repeatedly committed acts that mock detente and threaten the free world. Clearly," he says, "we must shed any lingering illusions we may have that the Russians have abandoned their determination to undermine Western democracy and impose their system upon the world." An estimate by the Defense Intelligence Agency of the Department of Defense finds, quote, "For the Soviets, detente is intended to facilitate their attainment of ultimate overall dominance over the West." Wherein it is further stated, "Soviet long-term strategic objectives, which the detente strategy seeks to promote, include the establishment of Soviet political, military, technological, and economic superiority worldwide." As former Secretary of State James R. Schlesinger points out, "In recent years, the Soviet Union has acquired the characteristics of a global rather than a continental power." Schlesinger suggests, "We not only review the past accomplishments of the American Republic, but also we take stock as to where we stand now and how we are to accomplish our national purpose in the future. For that purpose, we're devoting a series of broadcasts to what we consider to be the most important consideration for America, asking the question, can America survive the future? What lies ahead? Incidentally, former Secretary of Defense Schlesinger has pointed out how in recent years, U.S. military strength has been declining, while that of the USSR has been increasing. Is that not significant? The Soviet Union issued a statement defending its commitment to détente and explained any military buildup was necessary in circumstances when the other side is engaged in the arms race and rejects proposals aimed at disarmament. Alexander Solzhenitsyn does not fail to speak out words of warning to Americans who yield to Soviet pressures aimed at total disarmament. He sees the West without moral fiber, lacking a normal response to resist the godlessness that is swelling like a tidal wave about to strike our shores. Solzhenitsyn does not predict doom from the specter of atomic destruction as much as from the surrender of our will to resist. Why use a nuclear war when you surrender with your hands up? Asks Solzhenitsyn. In somber warning, he predicts for the future. The very concept of the West will disappear from the face of the earth. So perhaps Solzhenitsyn is right. His observation is also the theme of Dr. Carl F. H. Henry, who declares, if Marxism is challenged no more seriously than in the recent past, recovery for civilization in our century is highly unlikely. Writing in the United Evangelical Action, Dr. Henry states, where people lose the will to freedom, they invite and resign themselves readily to a gradual attenuation of their liberties. He concludes the only alternative is nothing less than moral and spiritual regeneration, a resurfacing of the reality of God. Well, Dave Wilkerson agrees, calling attention to the filthy TV programs, the nudity in all of the media, the perversion, crime, violence, disrespect for law and authority, the disintegration of every aspect of society, declaring judgment is coming. I do not like to prophesy doom and judgment, says Wilkerson, but there is fire in my bones. I've heard a message from God and must proclaim the word that God has given to me. Well, the Bible warns as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Wilkerson describes Lot as sitting at the gate in Sodom, socializing, going about greeting visitors, when he should have been warning the people of coming judgment. Says Wilkerson, I picture this naive, unprepared man of God sitting around so unconcerned, happy-go-lucky, and I want to run up to him and shake him real hard and scream into his ear, wake up, Lot. Don't you know God has already decided to send judgment? What's wrong? Don't you know there are only hours left before God's fire falls? Wilkerson, well known for his teen challenge ministry, warns, as certain as the fire on Sodom, as certain as the flood, as certain as night follows day, America is on the brink of devastating judgment. Again, says Wilkerson, let all the righteous lot sit around slapping people in the back and go about encouraging everybody that all is well. As for me, I hear the sound of a trumpet. I'm getting ready. I'm pleading with God for mercy on our land, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Los Angeles. You all soon be scathed by God's wrath. And not just the cities, says Wilkerson. Sinful men everywhere will soon know that what they see happening almost overnight is in truth the judgment of God upon their land. Witnessing the increase of immorality, even Christians marrying and divorcing at will, makes us wonder how close we are to the days of Sodom. The Bible tells us that Sodom and Gomorrah, turned into ashes, are an example to those who should afterward live ungodly. How much more plain can the scriptures be? Leonard Ravenhill, the noted evangelist, sees Sodom as having no Bibles. We all have all kinds of Bible translations, and everyone condemns sin and points to judgment of nations and individuals who do not repent. Again, someone has said if God doesn't soon send judgment, he'll have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Was judgment imminent? will nuclear weapons one day rain death and destruction upon our cities? Peter would remind us, as the world of Noah's day, being overflowed with water, perished, so the heavens and the earth which are now are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In spite of disarmament talks and signed agreements, there's a stepping up of military preparedness inside Russia. The Joint Committee on Atomic Energy on June 30, 1975, issued this statement, declaring, quote, "The specter of a Soviet first strike capability with a reserve second strike capability may soon be at hand." Note in this report to the United States Congress, it is declared, "It is apparent that in spite of SALT I and a potential SALT II, the Soviet Union has not decided to forego an aggressive strategic arms race." Was it possible an atomic war might be unleashed, but before it happens, the rapture will occur? Those who are ready to meet the Lord will be caught up from this earth before mass destruction strikes. The theme of the New Testament is that one day our Lord will come. He'll return for his saints. They'll suddenly rise to meet him in the air. And thus shall they ever be with the Lord. How will it be when this happens? Well, in Luke 17:29, our Lord reminds us, "The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So how will it be when Jesus comes? Well, it will be just like it was when Lot was pulled out of Sodom by angels coming and taking him by the hand, forcefully removing him from the city, before fire and brimstone fell upon the city. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed," said Jesus. Are you ready for Christ's coming? No wonder our Lord's return is described in Scripture as the blessed hope. Actually, it's the only hope in a nuclear age. According to a defense publication, we're told, if the Soviets were to launch an all-out nuclear attack on American cities and industrial centers, the American death toll would be 100 million or higher. This is according to Pentagon sources. Do we see judgment coming? There's only one message that all America needs to hear and to heed. It's this: drop to your knees, America. Humbly repent. Find forgiveness in forsaking sin. Let's open our hearts to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Finding pardon, we can also find peace. Then live daily for Christ, we can be ready whenever he may come. For indeed he hath said, "Be therefore ready also. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." His eyes are faced with many crowns.
Will you be ready? Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.